Hannah.
Good evening.
Hello,
Good
good
evening.
evening.
Going to start in about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Good evening. We'll be starting in about a minute.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tatir, Tzerura. Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadik. Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagbenu taharenu nora. Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun. Na gibor dor sheyechudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. The letters of the month of Nisan. The Dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, the planet of battles and wars, conflicts. And the Hay that created the astrological sign of Taleh, the lamb or the ram. Together, the Dalet and the Hay can be perceived as the doorway to the physical world. And each of us has to answer the question, are we looking down so that we open the door into the physical world? Or are we looking up so that we are opening the door from the physical world? Chasin Kadosh. Berov tuvcha na el adata het kuf bet tet nunayin. And I missed the verse, so I'm going to say it now. Barchem tacharem rachame sitkatcha tamid gamlem bet tet resh tzaritav kimmel. And now the sixth verse. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokre kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Te Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav tzadi yud taf. brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And we'll utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohe Wahe. Adonai Yohe Wahe. El Rahum V'Chanun. Erech Apayim. V'Rav Chesed V'Emet. Notze Chesed L'Alafim. Nosea on wafesha vechata'a v'nakei. Now we're going to connect to the energy of the year of the goat, the year Tafshin Ayin Zion, the year 5777. There are two verses that we utilize to connect to this energy. The first that we will study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor oyavai kinam. When we take the first letters of this verse, we're able to parse it into three Hebrew words. Sats ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words in the verse, we're able to permute it into two Hebrew words. Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the energy of the year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse has the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, concealed within the letters of the verse. Each letter of the name of the verse, the name of the year, is separated by seven letters each. Ki in ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Elohechem Tadibaku Kasher Asitem Adayom Hazeh. We're now going to study the energy of the year of the pause, which is 5776. There are two verses that connect to this energy as well. First one we will read is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Rakat kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshit. Et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum acheichem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'ad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me ha'kohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse them or permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe Lala He Wawa Yola Yo Alame Hey 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 Aka A Rekacha. The second verse that we'll study connecting to this year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bitu ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Tzur Olamim. In the year 5775, the energy was swallowing death forever. Bila hanavet hamavet lanetzach. And there are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishemi meni lo tarpeni adili ruki. Next, we'll study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoiya asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'halachti yitchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. And the year 5774 is the year of peace in the Middle East. And there's only one verse that connects to this energy, and that is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami li Israel untati vishakan tachta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu v'nei avla anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to connect to a verse from the Zohar. A pasuk from the Zohar, from the Parashah of Yitro. It's pasuk 29. And this pasuk connects to the energy of certainty. And we are first going to say L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkin te bid hilu. Erchimud hilud hilu erchimu. Le'achta l'shem yud he bevav he. Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah vayhino amadonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadenu konene aleinu maasei yadenu konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar bekama atar tanenan dekucha berichu koma diaved leila witata kola ihu kishot viovada dikshot beleid lach mila bialma divae barnash bedach yaleya mineya ulan haga beya kulana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola itzterich bialma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God.
A lot of static.
And now the 72 names from the Sadiqim. The names of the Sadiqim who left, chose to leave this day, the 25th day of Nisan. Rabbi Chaim Halberstam of Sons, Rabbi Nachum Tzvi Goldberg, and the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. I did hear you about the static. I'm not getting any static, so is more than one person getting static?
That sounds okay.
I know, it's unintelligible. It's so much static.
Okay. I'm going to suggest that you hang up and reconnect, and we'll wait when you do that.
Okay, I'll get off and try again.
Okay.
I'm back.
No, I'm getting some stuff. So the question is, does who the devil for you, Hannah?
It's not as, well, it's not quite as bad, but it's still, I wouldn't be able to hear the class.
Okay. Here's, let me mute everybody's phone and then let me know if it's working.
Okay.
I the static is left for is no longer on my phone. How about others? So unmute your phone, press star 6. I'm going to get off the phone and get back on.
Well, it's still very staticky. Hello? Hello? Hello?
I'm back. Is there any, I'm getting a little bit of static. Is anybody else getting static?
It's still staticky on my end.
Yeah, I can hear the static when you speak, Connor. Not sure how to solve this, so I'm going to disconnect again and wait a little bit of time, 30 seconds or so, and see if that helps.
Okay, should we get off and try again too?
Yes, everyone
okay.
Should.
Okay.
I know there's one person on the line. Are you getting any static? Because I'm not.
You're not completely clear. You don't have to. Can you talk again?
No, you. No, I heard you. I'm just trying to figure out. I mean, the recording will be clear.
I don't get static when you don't talk. It's just your voice is not, like, super clear.
Understand. I'm not sure what to... Let's hold off, see if others, people come in.
I think it's the line, because even when the lady spoke, you know, when she tells you the instructions and stuff, it didn't sound so clear.
I agree. So... There's now two people on the phone. The second person, do you have any static?
No, Malcolm, no. No static.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try and do this, because the recording will come through clear without the static right now. The handout for today, I apologize for two things. One, I didn't change so that it would go directly to where we're going to start. But if you go to Class 7A, it will open up to Chapter 5, Section 3. Let me go even back up further. This is on the Revealed Wisdom page on the Matrix. Row 11, the second column from the left. It's Advanced Reincarnation Series. When that link opens up, scroll down to where it says Class 7A. And when you open up that link, it will open up to Chapter 5, Section 3. And you'll need to scroll down to where it says Chapter 5, Section 5. And that is, this section is a long section, and it, last week when we started it, it got a little confusing for people. And I had said that I would add something that I had just thought of that week, and I didn't have time to do that with the holiday. So I'm going to add it as we go through, and I will tell you where that is. But it's not in the writing. So I'm starting to read at Chapter 5, Section 5. A fascinating concept is explained in the Sava of Mishpatim regarding the body of someone who has reincarnated many times. In what body does the soul arise in the time of the resurrection? The secret of servitude is an article that relates to this that came from Kabbalah Online from Rabbi Moshe Miller. And he, I've pasted the whole article here along with any comments that I have. But to explain what we're talking about before we start the secret of servitude, and we did discuss this last week in Section 4. When, as an example, a nefesh corrects part of itself, but it's not the correction is not complete. And then the soul sins. That correction that it did should nominally go with the body that was it was in. Meaning that at the resurrection of the dead, that soul parts that corrected themselves should resurrect with that same body. But because it's not a complete correction for the nefesh, when that soul reincarnates, when that nefesh reincarnates into a second body, actually all of the parts of the nefesh that correct themselves within the second body, they reincarnate as part of the second body. But the question is, what happens to those parts of the soul that corrected themselves in the first body? Because of the sin, that first body does not reincarnate. So what happens to these soul parts that were in the first body? And what the section of Mishpatim and the Saba of Mishpatim explains is that those soul parts also resurrect in the second body. That's what's being discussed in the Secret of Servitude. Because actions that correct the nefesh in the second body, those actions are really being done for the benefit of another body. And that's what this idea of the Secret of Servitude comes in. The rationale behind reincarnation of transmigration is dealt with in the Zohar in a long passage called Saba de Mishpatim, a portion of which has been translated below. The central idea is that reincarnation, or Gilgul, has two purposes. One, to rectify sin, or two, to acquire higher levels of soul. The former types of souls are the old souls, referred to above, while the latter are new souls, which do not require rectification as such. The following section is based on the verse, "If you buy a Jewish slave, he shall work for 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall go free without liability." A Jewish person can become a slave in one of two ways. On the physical level is what's being discussed. Due to poverty, he sells himself. And in this case, the slave's master is obligated to treat him as a hired laborer rather than as a slave per se, providing for his needs and those of his entire family. Actually, the man received, when he sold himself into slavery, he received the funds to pay off his debts and for his family to be taken care of for the 6 years. And now he's in effect working off that debt. So instead of having great debt to many people, he has debt only to one person, his master. That's the essence of the way the system worked. Continuing to read, this is not the type of slave discussed below. The second part, the second way it worked, the courts sells him because he's a thief and he's convicted as a thief. And he does not have the means to repay what he stole. And again, the court receives the funds and disperses it to the creditor or to whoever was stolen from. So it's essentially the same idea. Funds are paid, debts are paid off before he goes into servitude. And then for 6 years, until the next Shemitah year, he works as a slave but it really he works as a hired laborer, having in which he owes the debt, so he doesn't receive money for his work. He's already received that money. Now I am discussing, my commentary is discussing the idea of the old and new soul terminology as it applies in our generation. These terms, old and new souls, are used by people in today with a totally different definition than those terms that are used in the writings of the Zohar and of the Ari. A new soul is a soul that has just split into one of six people due to the inability to achieve his tikkun. So when he splits into six people, six souls, sparks, his tikkun is also split among those six sparks. Therefore, it is easier to achieve his tikkun as a spark than as the original soul. An old soul is a soul that has blemished his tikkun and taken his soul to a deeper level of impurity. In modern language, an old soul is someone who is more righteous and wiser in the ways of the world. And as part of my commentary, you see how strong and powerful is Satan, because these terms being defined this way totally corrupt the spiritual system and our understanding of the spiritual system. The Satan is powerful, he is strong, and yet you individually are more powerful, and you can defeat him, since he just hides behind the veil of the illusion. Once you see it, you can start to clarify what is the real truth of a different situation. It starts with asking the question, what is the cause and what is the effect in this situation? This is the beginning of defeating Satan. Continuing to read. The soul must be reincarnated either because of sin or because it failed to completely fulfill its obligations in Torah and mitzvot. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai began his discourse reciting the verse, "These are the ordinances, the mishpatim, that you shall place before them." The Targum translates this as, "These are the judgments that you shall arrange before them." What is the difference between ordinances and judgments? The Targums, which is the Aramaic translation of the Hebrew Bible, by calling it judgments, is limiting aspects of laws that are not judgmental. Mishpatim are laws that can be understood in a rational way. There are three types of laws, three types of judgments in effect. One is Mishpatim, the way you can understand it logically. One is that it is impossible to understand logically. It's called a hook. It's just, this is what God has told us, and we really cannot understand his reason for it. And the first part is laws that societies, in order to have people live and work together, would naturally arrive at a particular perception, a particular law. a law like that is do not murder. If you people need to come together, they need to have that kind of law. And it's clear that every society is going to deal with that kind of issue one way or another. But the Mishpatim is what we are talking about here. These are laws we can understand. Even if it's not necessarily a law that the society would choose to, every society would choose to implement. So I hope this is being clear to everyone. Continuing to read. This refers to the coordination of Gilgulim, or reincarnations. In singular, it's Gilgul, which really has the shoresh, the root, of a wheel. And it's a good way of understanding the cycles of lives, the various reincarnations, one after the other. The soul is on a wheel that brings it into the physical world, and then through death takes it out of the physical world, where it is cleansed, and then it is returned to the physical tool. The wheel returns. This is the idea of Gilgulim. Continuing to read. The judgments of souls that must be reincarnated and returned to this world to receive the words here are punishments to which they have been condemned. It's really not punishments. It's you return to the physical world in order to make tikkun, to make corrections for the mistakes that you made in a previous lifetime. It's not a punishment, it's cause and effect. If you buy a Jewish slave, he shall work for 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall go free without liability. Rabbi Shimon said to his circle of disciples, "Now is the time to reveal a number of closely guarded secrets concerning Gilgul. If you buy a Jewish slave, he shall work for 6 years. This applies when the soul must be reincarnated, either because of sin or because it failed to completely fulfill its obligations in Torah and mitzvot while alive in this world." The Ari has explained that in order to complete a person's tikkun, all 613 mitzvot must be achieved. Rabbi Ashlag has explained that in order to do the one mitzvah of the Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha, one must arrive at that level of consciousness where one can achieve loving your neighbor as yourself. And the purpose of the other 612 mitzvot is to elevate us to that level. And we can't get to that level until all 612 have been done in one lifetime or another. So now I'm continuing to read in the middle of the paragraph where I left off. Now, if the person's soul is from the aspect of the angel, Memtet, comprising six levels, Tesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, of the world of Briah, then the verse states he shall work for 6 years. The soul is obligated to undergo reincarnation only until it completes the rectification of those six levels. In regard to that aspect, whence it was taken, the six sefirot of Memtet just mentioned. What this is hinting to, maybe more than hinting, is that the level of that is reached spiritually by a particular soul in a lifetime or in a series of lifetimes as it grows spiritually, meaning as it cleanses itself, as it achieves its tikkun, it elevates spiritually, and it moves up this ladder of the Sephirot. And as it moves up the ladder, its new source, where it comes from in its next reincarnation, what level of consciousness it enters the world with, changes from the different Sephirot and within the different worlds. So a soul in this lifetime might be in Tiferet of Yetzirah. But if it achieves its tikkun in Tiferet of Yetzirah, it may have risen to the level of Tiferet of Briah. And then in that new incarnation, it may achieve its tikkun and arrive at the level of Chesed of Briah. And then perhaps in that new third incarnation, it may reach the level of Malchut of Atzilut. And at this level of Malchut of Atzilut, it is able to work on the tikkun and have the consciousness of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. I'm continuing to read. I hope you're finding this a little more clear in understanding than we did last week. However, if the soul is from the aspect of the Shekhinah, which is Malchut of Atzilut, the seventh of the emotional Sephirot, corresponding to Shabbat, the seventh day, what is written, in the seventh year he shall go free without liability. Because at this level of consciousness, he is a righteous tzaddik who has merited a soul from Malchut of Atzilut. And he does not have any work in the sense of correcting, but he does have work in helping others. He does have work in elevating and raising and, in a sense, correcting the consciousness of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha and achieving the highest level of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha he can reach. Accordingly, the Gilgul for such a soul is not a rectification or a punishment of any sort, but for another purpose, for the sake of benefiting the world and providing leadership. And such a soul is comparable to the Shabbat, the seventh day, when all types of work are prohibited. Indeed, elsewhere, a tzaddik and a Torah scholar are called Shabbat. And since he has no obligation to work, to make tikkun, other than to elevate spiritually, he is not enslaved. And regarding such a soul, it states in the seventh year, he shall go free without liability. Without liability meaning without being enslaved. Just then, an old man, the Saba, the grandfather, came down to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and said, "If this is so, Rabbi, what is unique about that soul regarding which it states, the seventh day is Shabbat to the Lord your God, who shall not do any work? You, your son, your daughter, your slave, your maidservant, or your animal. Since even your slave and your maidservant, these souls from the world of Briah and Yetzirah, and your animals, souls from the world of Asiyah, are prohibited from doing any work on the Sabbath, just like you and your son and your daughter, which are souls from Atzilut. What difference is there between them?" And Rabbi Shimon replies, "Saba, Saba, this you are asking? This entire verse is certainly said regarding the soul of a righteous tzaddik, which is from Atzilut. Although it is obligated to descend and be reincarnated in all these levels, even as a slave and a maidservant and in animals, which are the Ofanim, the wheels, the angels who are referred to as wheels, or in any beasts in which human souls transmigrate, are reincarnated, nevertheless, the verse, you shall not do any work, is written in regard to it. When the soul of a tzaddik from the world of Atzilut is obligated to descend into this world and be reincarnated even into the beasts of the forest, it nevertheless does not have to do any work of rectification of itself. And this is the meaning of you shall not work him like a slave. In regard to a tzaddik who is the Sabbath day, you shall not work him like a slave who is the weekday. My commentary was the word Ofanim is a race of angels. And the Zohar verse is explaining that Tzaddikim can be reincarnated even into races of angels in Olam Yetzirah or in Olam Bariyah. This is probably a new idea to most of you. Why would this happen? Because this is the work of the garden that Adam was charged with to do work in the Garden of Eden. In the work of the garden is our souls are given to do. And this may be the other five levels, maybe part of the five sets of 7,000 years of correction that the Ari speaks will not be necessary, that we will be able to do so. In this 7,000 year period, the Sabbath is the soulmate of the Tzaddik. But Saba, the Sabbath, which is an only daughter, Malchut of Atzilut, called Bat, daughter, is the soulmate of the Tzaddik, who is also called the Sabbath, as explained above. But since this is so, since she is his soulmate, why is it written in regard to him, and if he shall take another in addition to her? If he has found his soulmate, why would he need an additional mate? And he said, this is without a doubt the difference. And if he shall take another refers to the weekday aspect of the Shabbat. The meaning of this phrase will be explained shortly. For there are ordinary weekdays that are not called the weekday aspect of the Shabbat, but rather a spiritually impure slave girl. The Hebrew word is shivcha. My commentary. Of course you do not understand this teaching, since the vocabulary is from the language of branches. Hopefully it will clarify as we read on. The old man asked, what is the weekday aspect of the Shabbat? And Rabbi Shimon replies, this is the Amma, a maidservant, Bina of Malchut of the world of Briah, who is the body for the only daughter. The only daughter, which is Malchut of the world of Atzilut, is clothed within an Amma, a maidservant, like the soul is clothed in the body. Regarding her, it is said, and if you shall take another in addition to her. The explanation of this is as follows. Come, look, there are souls called Amma, and there are souls called Shivcha, slave girls. And there are souls called the daughter of the king. Each is named according to the source where it is drawn, or to where it transmigrates. And in the verse, there is also a man. If a man would sell his daughter as a maidservant, regarding whom it is said, the Lord is a man of war, referring to Zerahemnah of Atzilut. And there is also another man regarding whom it is said, and the man Gabriel, referring to the archangel deriving from Giburah of Briah. This part of the verse is therefore interpreted as, if a man, the Holy One, blessed be he, will sell his daughter, a soul from Atzilut, which is called an only daughter, as a maidservant, the soul transmigrates into the level of Briah, called Amma, maidservant. That is, the Jewish people will not leave the exile in the manner of slaves, hastily and in flight. Therefore, a soul that must be reincarnated, if she is a daughter of the Holy One, blessed be he, if the soul derives from Malchut of Atzilut, do not say that she may be sold into the body of a Gentile, God forbid. For that is where the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, for Samach Mem, for Samkel, rules. As it is written, I am God, this, the Tetragrammaton, is my name. I will not give my glory to another, to the Yetzer Hara. Thus, if the soul is from Atzilut, even though it transmigrates to the world of Briah, it is not obligated to do the work of rectification, nor is it subject to the Klipot. Meaning, if the body-soul combination that initially incarnated into this body does an action that requires it to have the effect of having sinned and falling spiritually, this does not apply to the level of consciousness of the daughter of Atzilut, the Shabbat level of soul, the daughter of the Malchut of Atzilut. Now, regarding the body in which the daughter of the king, the soul from Atzilut, resides, do not say that she can be sold to the lower crowns of impurity, heaven forbid. In this regard, the verse states, the land, Malchut, shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. Now, what is the body of the king's daughter? This is the angel Memtet, who is the maidservant of the Shekhinah, since the Shekhinah is clothed within him. Thus the body becomes an Amma, or maidservant, for the king's daughter, who is held captive therein, and it nevertheless transmigrates in reincarnation. What is written in this regard, if a man sells his daughter as a handservant, a maidservant, she shall not go free like the going free of a slave. Furthermore, another interpretation of the verse, if a man sells, refers to the Holy One, blessed be he. His daughter refers to the Jewish people, who are the aspect of an only daughter called Malchut, which is called daughter. Now, if you will say that they will go free in the future with the advent of the Mashiach, like those enslaved in Egypt who were from the aspect of a slave, Memtet, and fled from Egypt, the verse states, you shall not depart in haste, nor in flight. That is, the Jewish people will not leave the exile in the manner of slaves, hastily and in flight, in fear of their former slave masters, because they will not be from the aspect of slaves, but rather like the only daughter of the Holy One, blessed be he. Thus, when a person is worthy of the souls from the aspect of the only daughter, it is said regarding this soul, she shall not go free like the going free of a slave. That's the end of the section that came from Rabbi Moshe Miller. And as a general discussion of that whole section, the easiest way to understand it is the Tzaba and Rabbi Shimon are discussing code words and how to understand these verses that come from the Parashah of Mishpatim and how they're explaining reincarnation and levels of consciousness related to the Sefirot and to the worlds. And one way to truly understand that is to go through this section and chart it, create a diagram of the worlds and the 10 Sefirot within each world, and then put the code words next to the appropriate level. And you will find that it will be easier to understand this section at this point. Now, we have finished, our hour time is up. So I'm going to pick up where we left off here next week. Does anyone have any questions?
You mean the co-words being like the daughter and the Amma and the
maidservant, the Amma, the daughter, the word Shabbat, all of these code words to make sure that you understand how these code words are explained, what level of consciousness that they refer to, meaning what Sefirah within what world.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a good thing, a good practice to have, because much of the Zohar is explaining code words, which is this idea of the language of branches that I didn't explain here, because we've discussed it elsewhere. But briefly, the language of branches is the language of Kabbalah. And so, when you read in the Torah, or you read in the Talmud, or you read in the Zohar, a word like daughter, is that a metaphor, or is that somebody's daughter? Is it taken literally, or is it a metaphor? The language of branches explains this concept is that every root in a higher spiritual world has a branch hanging down from that root into the lower spiritual world. And so when you describe something using a physical world word like daughter or like grass or like animal or like eyes, these are items that everybody understands in the physical world. But when you're speaking about Sefirot, those words are branches that if you follow the branches up the tree to the higher spiritual level, you will have a better understanding, and that's when Kabbalists speak to Kabbalists, they might say the word I, but both Kabbalists who are talking to each other know that the I is a metaphor, a language of branches, for the Sefirah of Chachma. So they may say I, but they know they mean wisdom, Chachma. This is the language of branches, and this is why it is so confusing to people to study Kabbalah unless you understand that the what you're reading, what the words that are being used are not the physical world words, but of words that apply to higher spiritual levels. And you have to know what those levels are in order to be able to follow the conversation among Kabbalists. I hope that was clear.
Can it be, I know we're still talking about physical level, but when you have a computer screen and then you have the code behind the screen, which looks nothing like the screen, so if you're a computer programmer, and then you have the code, but even behind the code, then you have the microcode. Is it as an analogy like that, where it's...
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a good analogy. Because ultimately, you get to the level of the binary on and off.
Right.
And what is the binary saying is that everything is light or dark. Everything is on or off. But in our physical world, we cannot see whether something is on or off because it's veiled by all of these different levels of consciousness. Using the metaphor of the computer languages that you've described, so in the highest level, you have a binary, it's on or it's off, but then you have a microcode, and then you have another language, and then you have another level, and then ultimately, you have the graphical description that appears on the screen, which is a picture. But the picture is veiling whether it's on or off. So you can't see whether it's on or off by looking at the picture. Only when you go and delve into the different levels, following the branches, branch by branch by branch, to its root. That's the meaning of language of branches.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? We will have a Zohar class at 7 o'clock West Coast time tonight. We will count the Omer at 8:30 West Coast time. Tomorrow, Friday, there are no classes except for counting the Omer at 8:30 Friday evening. And then on Shabbat, the classes are Havdalah at 6 p.m. At 7 p.m., we will have a different Zohar class. And at 8:30, we will count the Omer. Then Sunday morning at 10:30, all of these times are West Coast times. Sunday morning at 10:30, we will continue our study and our preparations for the various holidays. And I remind you that this coming Wednesday night, the 26th of April, at 7 p.m. West Coast time, we will be having our Rosh Chodesh connection, which takes control of the month of Iyar. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Hello.
Shalom.
Shalom.